In the 23rd chapter of Proverbs, we have verses 29 through 35. We'll read responsively. Let's all read together on verse number 29 and then every other verse down through verse 35 tonight in Proverbs chapter 23. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. Let's pray. Dear Father, as we learn these lessons from Proverbs, I pray that tonight, Lord, again, you'll help each of us to listen intently, Lord, please fill our preacher with your spirit. Meet with us, Lord, and help us to grow together. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you, Brother Penn. Appreciate that. Just because somebody does something in the Bible does not make it something that God approves. Like the man who asked me one time, he said, does the Bible have any lies in it? And of course, the Bible has lots of lies in it because men tell lies. The Bible says, let God be true, but every man a liar. Are there things that are untrue in the Bible? Yes. There are things that people have said that are simply not true, but it's still part of God's word as God gives us his word. There are practices in the Bible that are not right. We think about why Gotham and Sonora. I can't believe I said that. Sodom and Gomorrah. We know why they were destroyed. We understand that the sins of sodomy, that's where the name word Sodom, that's where sodomy comes from. Bestiality, lesbianism, drunkenness, incest, all these things are in the Bible, but they are not things for which God has approval. The subject tonight that I want to look at, as if you did not already guess it by reading the scripture, is that of a short study on drinking. A short study on drinking. Study tonight brings us to the ever-growing problem of drinking alcohol. It is something that affects people of all ages in a multitude of ways. And alcohol is the number one drug problem today among people. Alcohol is so available everywhere you look, everywhere you go. A lot of places that used to be dry states or dry counties are now wet counties because they allow the sale of alcohol. Areas that are affected would be things like driving, school, home, work, all kinds of things affected by alcohol. The results are things like death, automobile accidents, poor grades in school or poor grades in studies for different activities that even adults would be involved in. Domestic violence, nobody can deny that. Divorce, poor efficiency on the job, a life of crime, and even more than I could mention tonight. Alcohol has affected all of that. Students spend, according to the statistics, over $5.5 billion on alcohol every single year. And for those who do the statistics, that averages out to about $450 per student, when you think about that. When I say student, yes, there will be many that are underage. We're talking also college kids and all the rest of it. And it's just amazing what happens. Now, what one needs to do is look at this matter of drinking through the eyes of the Lord. And to our online family, I want to say to each of you, I realize this is not going to be a popular Bible study tonight. It's not going to be a big one. It's not going to be a long one. I got 3 points that I want to give you tonight. But it's not going to be like the study that we did here a number of years ago about all alcohol in the Bible. And we took weeks and studied every verse in the Bible that dealt with imbibing alcohol in one way or another. It's also one of the most misunderstood topics in the Bible. Why? Because people did it in the Bible. We find out that some people drank in the Bible and got happy. And people say, well, there's nothing wrong with that. And there's all kinds of things. So I want you to listen carefully tonight, because what I want is I want God's opinion. I have an opinion about alcohol. It's a destructive force. No matter how you look at it, it is a destructive force. So I've got a personal opinion about that, and I'm going to stand by it. And I hate alcohol consumption, imbibing alcohol. And I make no excuse for it. I really do not. But what does the Bible say in a short study like this? I think you're going to appreciate the conciseness of what is said this evening. If you're taking notes, I said I have 3 points that I want to give you tonight. Number one, drinking is a sin. Yep, I said it, didn't I? Drinking alcohol is a sin. Many people use the argument that because Jesus turned water into wine, that he was approving of drinking. Now, a number of years ago, I had a problem with that. When you go to the wedding of Cana, and the Bible says that Jesus turned water into wine, and because I had not done the study, I come to find out that the very wording that is used in that particular instance in the Bible does not describe alcoholic beverage. And I double dog dare anybody to use the words about what's better and what and all the rest of it, because Jesus did not condone what he condemns in the Bible. We have to understand that. That's like Jesus saying, well, I approve of immorality in the New Testament and because they did it in the Old Testament and it was condemned by some. No, Jesus did not approve it by making it alcoholic beverage. Now, people have parsed those verses out so many ways, but the bottom line is it brings a contradiction in Scripture if Jesus approved of imbibing alcoholic beverage when he's condemned it throughout the Word of God. So what did he turn it into? By the way, what is a wine press? Does anybody know what a wine press is? A wine press is something that squeezes grapes. And what comes out of grapes? Juice. 100% pure grape juice. But what do they call it? They call it a wine press. Very misunderstood by so many. And so as I studied this out, I'm just excited to be able to tell you that what Jesus served at the wedding of Cana was simply pure, unmixed grape juice. And we know this from a study of the language of Scripture. And I say this, every word in the Bible is there on purpose and with purpose. And shame on us if we try to bend Scripture to meet our standard of living or what we want to believe. Jesus would never say it is okay in one passage of Scripture and then condemn it in another passage of Scripture. That's like saying you're saved by grace in one passage and you're saved by works in another. That's like taking James where it says that a man is saved by works. What is he saved by? In front of you, you know I'm a Christian by the works that I do. But Abraham was saved by faith because God sees our faith. And that's exactly what happened. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1. Notice what the Bible says. Wine, it doesn't say is sometimes. It says wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. That's present tense. That means it is. There's not a time that it's not. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And then notice what it says. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. The Bible says here that strong drink is raging. And what does that mean? Alcohol causes a difference in an individual. It causes a stir. According to the word raging, it causes a stir. It causes things to become turbulent in that individual's life and in the lives of those who are around him or her. Doesn't matter who, because people get drunk. I read just this morning, I believe it was on Fox News, I did not see it, but at this baseball game that they just had, they had a country western singer sing the national anthem. She later apologized and turned herself into a rehab center because she said when she sang, she was just flat drunk. It affects everybody, not just men, not just women, and not just adults. It affects everybody. Most people want things to be calm and under control. And drinking will result in exactly the opposite of that. Why? Because the Bible lets us know very clearly that alcohol can take control of you, can take control of your brain, can take control of your life. It's amazing how the Bible is so explicit. And so voices will rise when people get drunk. Tempers will flare when people get drunk, and all the drinking those drinking will act irrationally. We've all seen it. We don't have to get around a bar and walk through a bar to see how irrational people are. We don't have to do any of those things. We know what's caused it. Often people will blame bad behavior on alcohol, and they will say to another individual, well, that's just the alcohol drinking, speaking. That's the beer speaking. That's the 7.0 speaking. That's the whiskey speaking. And they'll blame bad behavior on alcohol, and by the way, rightfully so. And so Satan has deceived most people into thinking that drinking is okay. Now, I want you to see this. I want you to take your Bible and go to Ephesians 5:18, because I'm going to say something tonight that I've never said about imbibing alcohol. And it's just a couple of sentences, but I want you to see it. Ephesians 5:18 says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Many people will say that it's okay to drink as long as you don't go overboard, all the while using Ephesians 5:18 to justify drinking simply because they don't drink to get drunk. The Bible doesn't make that exception. The Bible says, be not drunk, don't be controlled by alcohol, but be controlled by the Holy Spirit. But they will use that, say, I don't drink to get drunk. I just drink because it makes me feel good. It makes me be relaxed. My doctor recommended that I drink a can of beer every day before I go to bed at night. And they'll give a number of different excuses, and they'll run to Ephesians 5:18, all the while saying, well, I don't drink to get drunk. Well, I'm glad they don't drink to get drunk. I praise the Lord for that. But that doesn't mean they won't ever drink to get drunk. That means one day it may happen. And the Bible says this. Are you listening? Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. So a person can make all the excuses that they want to by saying, well, I don't get drunk. Really? But the Bible says it's a mocker. The Bible says it's raging. And the Bible says you're not wise because you're deceived if you get involved with alcohol. All one has to do is look at the commercials on television and notice the billboard advertisements to see that it appears to be to the world no big deal. And to Christians today, it's no big deal either because they don't drink to get drunk, as they say. Robin and I were at a wedding down in Florida, and of course they had the toast to the couple. And they had big bottles of champagne. I call it champagne. But they had the big bottles of champagne. And I don't know why, but the guy serving the stuff liked me. I went up and I was talking with him and all that. And everybody else got a sip in their glass. He poured me a full glass of champagne. See, what did you do with it? I sat there and looked at it as most of the Christians around me were imbibing their champagne. Say, well, weren't you going to honor the couple? Yes, I honored them by not drinking alcohol, because wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And I sat there and I looked at everybody else's glasses around me. They all had just enough for a toast. I had enough for a party in my glass. I couldn't believe it. And you say, was that rude? I never told him I wasn't going to drink it. I just let it sit there on the table. I figured somebody else would come by and drink it later on, but I wasn't going to drink it. And there's a lot of biblical reasons for that. So none of those advertisements on TV, none of those billboards that are out there give a true picture of what alcohol really does to a person. They're deceptive and give the impression that if you drink, you're going to have fun, and you might be the life of the party, and you might be the most popular one there because you BYOB. That's not bring your own Bible either. Bring your own booze, they say. And they say that you might, if you're a man, you'll enjoy the company of beautiful women. And if you're a woman and you drink, you'll enjoy the company of handsome, well-dressed, and wealthy men of all things. And to a certain degree, have power. By the way, President Trump does not drink. I thought that was interesting. They even mentioned that the other night in one of the speeches, that when they were passing around the drinks, President Trump does not imbibe. And I'm glad for that and for that example that he sets. So what is the devil doing? What is he trying to do? He is simply making light of sin by making it appear to be something that you can be something that you're not. That it provides an excitement and a lifestyle that you are missing out on if you don't drink alcohol. John 8:44, these are the devil's a liar. No wonder the Bible says, whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. I wonder why God included that in the New Testament when the Bible says that wine and strong drink are deceivers. Seems to go together. And then there's Revelation 20:10, where the Bible says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. He is a deceiver. Alcohol is a deceiver. The devil is a liar. Alcohol is a liar, you see. And anyone who drinks is being deceived. And if they say, I don't drink to get drunk, I drink to be social, alcohol will not make you more social. It will usually make you obnoxious, you see. I think the world is not going to make it a big deal. Politicians are not going to make it a big deal. The beer makers are not going to make it a big deal. The bar owners are not going to make it a big deal. The stores that sell it are not going to make it a big deal. And somebody's got to say something, because people don't see anything wrong with it. Why? Because they've been deceived. They've been deceived. Now, say, Pastor, you're being pretty strong about this. Well, I'm simply saying what the Bible says. I did say earlier that just because somebody did something in the Bible did not mean that God approved of that in the Bible, you see. Wine in the Bible, as we found out about the word yayin, we studied that a number of years ago. It can be translated from everything from fig cakes to grape jelly to alcoholic beverage to non-alcoholic beverage. Context is everything. Point number two. One who drinks becomes a fool. Proverbs 20:1. But I don't drink to get drunk. Okay, the one who drinks is a fool. Wine is a mocker. See, what's the word for wine there? It's the non-alcoholic version of yayin, Old Testament. Not non-alcoholic. Because the context here talks about drunkenness and control. Wine is a mocker. strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And anyone who yields to the temptation to drink is playing the part of the fool and playing right into the hands of the devil. Say, but Pastor, I know some good people who drink. I'm sure you do. I know some good people who drink, but they're fools because they drink alcohol. They're foolish in what they're doing. They're making a non-biblical excuse for their alcohol obsession. By the way, alcohol doesn't make you smarter. It doesn't make you more beautiful. It doesn't make you more successful. And it does not bring happiness into your life. Maybe for a short time, it might. There is no doubt but that the flesh is going to find some happiness in it. How do we know that? Because of what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 25. There is a statement that is made in Hebrews 11, 25 that says how alcohol is so deceptive, even though alcohol is not mentioned. You know the verse. You know what it says. You know who it's about. Hebrews 11, 25, choosing, speaking of Moses, rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the... That next word is confusing to so many people. The pleasures of sin for a season. Somebody, I heard a preacher say one time, sin doesn't ever make you happy. Sure it does. The Bible calls pleasures of sin. Yeah, people get happy getting drunk. They get happy going down to the liquor store, going down to the banana belt and picking up a 24 case or a 12 pack or a few bottles of vino and all the rest of it. Sure, they get happy for a season. The Bible says so. It says Moses chose to suffer with his people rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin. But notice that God did not say the pleasures of sin, period. He said the pleasures of sin for a season. Well, it's not hurting me none. Like the teenage boy that I knew in high school that had been dropping acid for 4 years. He was 16. He started taking LSD at 12. He said, I've never had a bad trip yet. I stopped him and I said, keyword, yet. LSD doesn't leave your body, leastways not for a long, long time if it leaves at all. Deceived. 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 Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. He is a fool. Can I just give you that? He is a fool because he is not wise. And this verse in Hebrews 11, 25 points out that there may be some worldly and fleshly pleasure in sin. But the fact is, it does not last long. In the end, it biteth like an adder. It's poisonous. It'll destroy a person's life. And it will bend their judgment to where they will make excuse for wrongdoing. One can satisfy the flesh for a while, but it will soon fade away. One who drinks will, in time, need more, and then more, to have the same level of satisfaction that they had on that first bottle of vino. You say, well, the wine that I drink, are you listening to me online? The wine that I drink is very low in alcohol. I worked with a girl when I was a teenager at Hag Drugs. She is short. I mean, real short. And I was short, and she was shorter than me. And she went to a party one night, and they were serving, of all things, Boone's Farm. Very low alcohol content in Boone's Farm wine. I think it was strawberry is what she was drinking, the strawberry wine. That little girl got flat drunk at the party drinking low alcohol wine. Say, how do you know that? Because she told me the next day when she came to work how drunk she got. She said, I didn't even know it was alcohol. My mom, bless her heart, in Tennessee, there's a drink put out called New Grape. If you've never had New Grape, you've never had grape drink. It's just really, really good. How many have ever had a New Grape drink? Anybody? New Grape is good stuff. It really is. My mom did not know that the bottle of wine that my dad had brought home was not New Grape. My mom weighed 99 pounds, wringing wet and full of me when I wasn't even born yet. She wasn't 100 pounds with me at 9 months pregnant. Didn't take much to set her off and make her drunk. She said, Danny, I got so drunk. She said, I didn't even know it was wine. She said, I thought it was grape or grapeette or new grape, whatever it was. I can tell that now. Mom's in heaven, and she knows how bad that was. One can satisfy the flesh only for a little while, but then you have to have more. And by the way, that's one of the deceiving things about alcohol. You have to have more. It's the same thing with drugs. They start off with marijuana. They start off with maybe one toke, maybe one joint during whatever it might be. Then they're going out and they're buying their dime bags and their nickel bags and their quarter bags, and they're buying more and more. And then they go to hashish and they get something stronger. And then they go from that maybe to a chemical drug. You just never know. And before you know it, they have to walk around and somebody has to keep a can of Narcan in that with them because they're going to get flat busted because of the drugs they have in their system. Oh, pleasures of sin, yes, for a season. But the world says it's no big deal. God says that a person is a fool. You say, Pastor, it doesn't say that. It says he's not wise. If you know your Bible, the opposite of not being wise is being foolish. And whosoever is deceived thereby what? Is not wise. Third point and last point, the Word of God warns against alcohol consumption. So I know a story in the Bible where they drank and got happy. Yeah, you sure do. There's lots of stories in the Bible like that, but that didn't mean it was right. God gives some very direct counsel when it comes to this matter of drinking alcohol, imbibing, if you will. Consider what the Word of God has to say from our opening text. Would you go back there to Proverbs 23? I want you to see this because there are six questions that are asked in our opening statement. Could have gone further to the end of the chapter, but decided not to. Proverbs 23, verses 29 through 35. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? Now, if only God asked questions, then we would be in the dark, wouldn't we? The very next phrase answers the question. They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine... By the way, strange does not talk about odd women, okay? We read that word strange, and we so often think of somebody that's odd. Strange women here is someone of a different morality and a different belief and a different faith, okay? We read about that in the Word of God. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. Imagine being on top of a mast, back and forth, because they can't walk straight. It says, they have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. So what are the six questions? First of all, who hath woe? What does the word woe mean? Grief, despair, the result of problems that they have to drink away their problems. What do people do? They go to the bar and they got problems and they think getting drunk is going to take away their problems. All it does is add to it. And then look at the next one, who hath sorrow? That word sorrow there is an emphatic word, which means great sorrow. Then it says, who hath contentions? Okay, strife's an argument. What do they tell you? What's the advice they give you about talking to a drunk? Never argue with a drunk. Why? Contentions are high. Who hath babbling? Well, that's talking about your conversation. And in this instance, the word babbling is not just talking about talk, 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 talk. It's talking about complaining. Somebody who's drunk has got a problem with everything. Nothing is right and nothing is good. And then you got who hath wounds without cause. That's unnecessary bruises and hurt. Why? Well, they're falling into stuff. They fall down. They fall downstairs. They trip. They fall into the gutter. They have all these different things. So you've got these wounds without cause. Say, why did he fall down? He fell down because he was drunk, you see. Not like when Brother Penn and I were in Argentina. And the sidewalks there are like this, leastways where we were. And I nearly fell into the street, and Brother Penn reached over and grabbed my arm and pulled me back. He's literally saved my life. And it was amazing. But we're not talking about a crooked sidewalk. We're talking about somebody that can't walk straight because they're drunk. And then, who hath redness of eyes? Speaks in its original language of blurry vision. Somebody that's drunk, they'll look at you and do this. Why? Because everything's just kind of blurred out. And then, who hath these things? The Bible says, the person who drinks. They tarry long at the wine and the mixed drinks. And that's how they are. Verse 31 says that we are, look what it says, we're not even to look at the wine when it begins to move. Now, the word look there, again, is a picture word in the Bible. You can check it if you'd like, and it simply means to look with desire. It doesn't mean that every time you see a bottle of booze, you have to turn your head because you're not supposed to look at it. It doesn't mean that. What it means is don't look at it and desire it. That's why it's so dangerous for someone who used to drink to be hanging around people that drink. That's why if you've ever walked by a bar and you smell the alcohol, it's like people who gave up smoking. My dad and mom both gave up smoking. My mom had TB, from which God healed her completely, literally miraculously. My dad would not give up his pipe. He would not give up his cigars. And I prayed for him. God did another miracle, answered my prayers. My dad asked me if I was praying for him about his smoking, and I said yes. And then he told me how every time he put a pipe in his mouth, his breakout and white sores, he had to quit smoking because of that. Mom having TB wasn't enough. But have you ever walked by a tobacco store? Goodness. And I don't mean a place where they just sell cigarettes. I mean, you ever walked by a tobacco store? My goodness, it smells good. I remember down in Tennessee, my pawpaw grew tobacco on his property. He had 10 acres, and part of that was tobacco, and he would hang tobacco in the barn. Well, you walk into a tobacco barn, you are overwhelmed with an incredible scent. That's why it's dangerous for somebody trying to give up smoking to hang around people that do. I had an uncle, still, he's in heaven now. He developed a habit over the years of smoking. And I mean, just smoke, 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 smoke. I had another uncle, who was my mom's other brother, who gave up smoking until he got around my uncle who smoked and took up smoking again. It's just dangerous. It's just not wise. Now, the Bible says here that you're not even supposed to look at it to like it. If you got a problem with looking at it when it starts to ferment and all the rest of it, that you're not supposed to look at it with desire. It will cause those who drink to look for the wrong relationships. That's what it talks here, looking at strange women. Say the thing. Somebody says, well, I don't look at strange women when I drink. All right, fine, I'm glad you don't. But what other area is your life got perverse thinking? What other area of your life? I mean, what kind of immorality are you involved in? Are you involved in a lascivious lifestyle because you have started imbibing? Have you started looking around at women differently? Men, ladies, have you started looking around at men, breaking up a relationship? Are you hearing what I'm saying? The Bible said those very things. It says, thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thy heart shall utter perverse things. Alcohol changes an individual. I didn't even go to Proverbs chapter 30 and 31 tonight, where Bathsheba simply said that alcohol is a killer of a king. And so God is asking those questions. And yet the one who is deceived and acts out the part of the fool and drinks will go back to it again, regardless of how they have acted and how they feel. They just go back to it. I've said this to you too many times, but I guess I'll use it until Jesus comes back. But I asked one young man who took up alcohol, and he said he talked to the Lord about it, and God said it was all right. And I'm thinking, I don't think so. I don't think so. Not based on what the Bible says. There is no doubt that alcohol is destructive. It will eat away at a person's life one little drink at a time. It will rob people of good health. It'll rob people of good wealth. It'll destroy a family. It'll steal one's money. It'll hurt the work of Christ, you see. Pastor, now I cook with beer and I cook with alcohol. Is it okay for me to go to City Market and pick up a six-pack of Coors? And I said, as long as you can give the lady a tract that checks you out, invite them to come to church while you're buying the booze. The prophet Daniel made a decision, and it's one I think everybody ought to make. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, he made a decision before he was offered the booze. It says, but Daniel purposed in his heart, that's past tense, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not, now look at the next word, defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, or the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself, you see. And so not only was the king's meat not good for a Jew to eat, but the alcohol was not good for anybody to drink. And he said, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, that it would defile you. Now, I know a lot of people will disagree with what I've said tonight. I realize that, and I'm fully well aware of it. I may even hear something online tonight. There might be somebody say, well, I drink, and it doesn't bother me any. I drink, and I don't get drunk, and I've never gotten drunk, and I got to keep a bottle of vino in the cabinet for when Uncle John shows up, or Uncle Bill, or Aunt Susie, or whoever it might be. And I keep it there because they might want to drink. Let them go to the bar and drink. So I'd rather them drink in my house than go someplace and get in a car wreck after or get drunk on the way back. That's their responsibility. But you don't need to be adding to their sin. My first point tonight was this. Drinking alcohol is a sin. And it's one for which the Christian needs to repent. And the unsaved person needs to wise up. And that's my study.